today is a way of just trying to recognize what folks are doing. And honestly, today is about helping those of you who are new to Calvary to understand the way that we tick, what makes us who we are around here. Do you know that what we do, what you just saw on stage, this isn't just part of what Calvary is about. This is part of what Jesus' church is supposed to be doing. In fact, the philosophy that we have about volunteers leading the church, that's just not something that we made up. This comes directly from Scripture. I want to show you what really drives the way that we do volunteer ministry around our church. It's actually just one verse, but I'll give you the context. It's found in Ephesians chapter 4. And here's what it says. I'll put it up on the screens for you. This is the great apostle Paul. He has started this church in a Greek city called Ephesus, and he's explaining to this church, this is the way a church is supposed to function. And Calvary Baptist Church functions like this passage of Scripture says all churches are supposed to function. Here's what he says. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Now these are the gifts that Christ gave to the church. Semicolon. Let me show you what he's saying here. Jesus loves his church. Jesus wants to grow his church. And in order for Jesus to grow his church, Jesus puts some people in positions of leadership. What you're going to read next in verse 11 are positions of leadership. And here's what they are. Some are apostles, some are prophets, some are evangelists. And I think the best way to describe this is what the New Living Translation shows. Some are pastors slash teachers, meaning shepherds who teach the church. These are positions of leadership. But verse 12 really describes what these people are supposed to do and how a church is supposed to function. You ready for it? Listen to this. Those pastors and evangelists and apostles, their job, their responsibility is, look up here on the screen, to equip God's people to do His work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. Notice what it's saying here. The pastors and evangelists and apostles, they're believers in Jesus, so they're supposed to be doing ministry too. But God has given them positions in the church, and their job is to raise up the people of the church. Many churches in America, frankly, many churches in Columbus, Georgia, or in Phoenix City, Alabama, function like this. The pastor does all of the ministry. The people in the church sit back and eat popcorn and drink Coke and watch the pastors do all the ministry. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12 says, that's not how it's supposed to work. The pastors raise up the people of the church to go do the ministry of the church. It's people ministering to people, verse 12. And verse 13 says, when that's happening, let me tell you what the church is like. Verse 13, this will continue. People ministering to people and pastors raising up volunteers who are serving Jesus' church. This will continue until we all come to such unity of faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standards of Christ. I don't really have a sermon necessarily for us today, but I do think you're going to notice three things about the way that people serve each other in Jesus' church. And here's why we make such a big deal about it around here. First, it's important to God. When you serve, whatever your service is, it doesn't matter what you're doing, what you do in Jesus' church, for Jesus' church, is important to God. This is what Ephesians chapter 4 is teaching, that God gave His mission to His church, and His church is supposed to accomplish that mission. We believe we can finish Jesus' mission in our lifetime if everyone in Jesus' church starts to do what Jesus' church is commanded to do. We can fulfill the Great Commission literally in our lifetime. But if it's just the pastors and just the teachers doing the ministry, there's no way this is going to happen. There's no way Jesus' church will continue to grow. The Bible says that as the church is a body, I want you to notice it from the screens, that the church is like a body. It is Jesus' physical representation here on earth. And when His body is doing what His body is supposed to do, everyone is better because of it. The whole city is better because of it. The kingdom of God is better because of it. Yeah, God gives some people to be pastors and some people to be apostles, some to be elders and some to be teachers, but their role is not more important than a different volunteer. In fact, all of us that know Jesus should be giving our gifts and our talents, kind of like Pastor Allen said, using whatever talents and gifts that God has given us. Even, I guess, like Pastor Frank just said, he has chauffeurs that pick him up at his house and drive for him, so I guess he has a personal valet in this room. I didn't know that until just a few minutes ago, but whatever it is that God has given you the talent to do, you should be using that talent to serve King Jesus. And it is important to Jesus. It's important to Jesus' church. But I also want you to know something. It's important to everyone who comes in these doors. It's important to the whole group when God's people are serving the church. And when God's people are serving the church is better off because of it. The Bible tells us that through people serving people, volunteers serving Jesus' church, the church is equipped to be able to do what the body of Christ is called to do. Here it is up here on the screens. Do you know that word equip, look up here for just a second, is a medical term. It's the term that doctors would use to set a broken bone. Which means what that verse is saying is that when the body of Christ is not doing what the body is called to do, when people are not volunteering, when they're not serving the way God has gifted them to serve, the body is limping along like with a broken bone. And it's going to be able to move forward, but it's going to be slow and it's going to be painful. When people are serving people, when the body is ministering to the body and people are doing what the church has been called to do, the church can move quickly, the church can move smoothly, the body is moving efficiently when people are serving people around here. That's why we teach, if something happens in your family, if you have a health crisis, the first face that we hope you see is not one of our pastors. We would hope you see somebody from your life group. And really, not even a life group leader. We would hope that you see somebody that you just do life with regularly at Calvary, and they're the first face that comes to see you at a hospital. They're the people that come to your house and they bring you food because you have a crisis or you have a need. This is the church ministering to the church and the body taking care of the body. Yeah, life group leaders should show up. Perhaps pastors should be there, but definitely the body should be taking care of the body. The whole group is better off when that happens. And when it doesn't happen, there's a problem in the Bible. There's also a problem with what the Bible says the body is supposed to be doing. The group is supposed to be doing for the group. But let me show you what happens when the body is taking care of the body, when the church is serving the church. Verse 13, when this is done right, when it's done the way that God commands people to do it, we all of us, continue to grow up in faith. It's the idea that if this doesn't happen in a church, the church functions like a little baby. It has great needs that are not being met because the people aren't taking care of the people. We all grow up into the knowledge of God's Son when volunteers are serving each other in Jesus' church, and that we become mature in the Lord and measure up to the full and complete standards of Christ. I want you to notice something about those last couple of words up there. The idea of being full is the idea that there's something lacking in the church that only the people of the church, the pastors can't do it. The people of the church can do this for each other, but the pastors can't do it themselves. And when the people are doing it, then the church is complete. Then the church is full. It's the imagery of ripe fruit. If the people aren't serving each other, then the fruit is raw. It's underdeveloped. When the people are not working hand in hand with each other, the fruit becomes overripe. It just becomes nasty whenever it's like that. The goal is that people are ministering to each other and the body is taking care of the body. And when that happens, volunteers are important to God. Volunteers are important to each other. They're important to the church. They're important to the whole group. But here's what else happens. It's good for volunteers. They grow as individuals when people are serving each other, when they're serving one another. This is why we unashamedly teach around here that at Calvary, every member should be a Yeah, you guys didn't say that very loud. I'm not really convinced you believe that, so I'm going to give you one more chance. At Calvary, we want every member to be a minister. And we teach that there isn't one ministry that's more important than others. Some ministries are more visible than others. Some of you want to sit down and don't want to be recognized on stage. I get that. But every ministry is important. And when the body is taking care of the body, everybody is better. When the body is serving each other and volunteering together, God's church is better off. God is pleased with that. But the residual is, you're better off when you volunteer and when you serve. You don't do it for yourself. You do it for King Jesus first, and then you do it for Jesus' people second. But the residual benefit is, you end up growing. You become better as a believer when you're giving to Jesus' church. Churches that don't take time to recognize this, they leave their people underdeveloped. Churches that don't make a big deal about volunteers, they leave volunteers under-challenged. But the worst, in fact, in my opinion, the unforgivable, is when a church doesn't do this, they leave the volunteers of the church underappreciated. And our whole goal today, the pastors and the leaders of this church, is just to tell those of you who are serving, thank you. We appreciate you. There is no way that we could do what we do without you. Now I want us to transition for just a second. Because if you're new here, I want to be careful that you don't put the cart before the horse. Here's what I mean by this. Some people have this view in mind that I need to do a lot of good things for God so that He'll love me. In fact, I've met many people that have this personal idea of getting into heaven. If I do more good things in my life than the bad things in my life, then God is going to allow me to get into heaven because my good deeds outweigh my bad deeds. And frankly, that kind of idea is found nowhere in the Bible. So today I want to caution you. If you're serving or if you're giving to Jesus because you're hoping that it earns His favor, that He becomes pleased with you because of the things that you do, that He would love you more because of the things that you do, I owe it to you to correct that today. To say that you don't do this to make God love you anymore. In fact, the only appropriate way to give to Jesus' church is because He already loves you. And you just simply do this out of devotion to Him. See, the danger is that somebody in this room will say, well, I'm going to start to serve and I'm going to start to give and I'm going to start to pray harder and I'm going to read my Bible more because I want God to love me more. And if that's the idea that you have, then it just simply doesn't fit with what the Bible and the gospel teaches. Here's what the Bible teaches. There's nothing that you can offer God that's going to make Him love you more. In fact, what God asks you to give Him is all of your sins, all of your mistakes, all of your failures. You come to Him and you give Him that and only that. And in exchange, He covers all of those mistakes, all of those sins with the blood of Jesus. And He also gives you credit for the perfect, sinless life that Jesus lived. This is what the gospel teaches. We don't serve to make God love us more because we can't make God love us more. We serve because He first loved us and He gave His Son to die for us. And because He loves us, we do this out of love for Him. So maybe today somebody in this room needs to go for the first time in their life and need to understand that it's not good deeds outweighing bad deeds that gets me into heaven. In fact, I give to Jesus' church. I work in Jesus' church. I spend time and energy for Jesus' church because of what He's already done for me. I don't do it to earn His favor. For some of you in this room, maybe you need to find a place to serve. And if we haven't helped you as a team of leaders find a meaningful place to serve, let us know who you are. Today's not trying to recruit more volunteers. We just want to recognize those that are serving. But if you don't have a meaningful place to serve, we would love to help you find a place that helps you grow as an individual and the church to grow better. And really, what I would like you to do, the only thing that I would ask you to do, if you are serving and if you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, before you leave here today, would you find somebody in this room who you know is doing something to serve you? And would you go hug them? And tell them thank you. I'm being serious. Like, We don't do the holy kiss like the Bible says, but you can at least give them a hug today and say, thank you so much for what you're doing for me. Thank you for the service that you do for me in this church. This is just God's people showing appreciation for one another. Maybe today, somebody in this room needs to understand for the first time that I can't work hard enough to earn my way into heaven. And what I've been trying to do is to let my good deeds outweigh my bad deeds. If that's you, I'm going to pray for you in just a second. Father, maybe somebody's walked into this room and they have thought all of their life, I got to do these things for God and for His church because I want God to love me more. And today they're hearing for the first time, it doesn't work that way. Maybe somebody in this room needs to nail down once and for all their sin, their need for a Savior, and their relationship with you. If that's the case, Holy Spirit, would you do something that I cannot do? Would you do something that no one can do for them? Would you change them from the inside out? Would you cause them right where they're sitting to just simply in the form of a prayer say, God, I have nothing to offer you. Jesus, I come to you today offering you nothing but my mistakes and my sins and my failures, but I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to clean me up and to make me a new person from the inside out. And God, if that prayer is real, if it's sincere, would you give us the privilege of knowing who these folks are and following up with them about what to do next? Father, I also want to ask you for people that are in this room who may not have a meaningful place to serve. Would you put on their hearts today a place where they can get plugged in and they can serve your church? But God, would you cause all of us, it would be wrong if we walked out the doors of this building and didn't show our thanks. So would you cause all of us who are being served, and that's everyone in this room, to show some kind of appreciation today to the people that are volunteering and ministering to them. I pray, God, that you will be glorified and that you would be honored by the way that your people respond. In Jesus' name, amen.